Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, it is Wednesday, and we're back for Rated G Radio. We are live for the next hour from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are early tonight because we've got our very special guest star, Greg Archer. He's calling in from Chicago, Illinois, in just a minute to talk about his book, Grace Revealed, a family's memoir about his... Well, we're going to let him tell you all about it. What have you been doing with your February? Can you believe it is already the 4th of February? I can't even believe we're past New Year's, and here we are. One of the things that I saw the other day on Facebook, and I put it up last night, I really like, and I do it mostly because I need the affirmation, not that I'm trying to inspire others, but, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, like, okay, I got to get out of bed. What am I going to do it? And I saw this post from James Van Prague, and it was on somebody else's wall. I'm friends with him on Facebook and blah, 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 you know, like we all are, you know. And it says in the picture, love, love, love. And then beneath that it says, the more you use affirmations, the stronger and quicker the results will materialize in your life. And so I posted yesterday, I am, and then fill in the blank. And I said, what positive affirmation can you say about yourself? Tell me. And so I would like you to tell me, whether you're listening to the show live or if you're on, you know, Memorex on demand, you can send me a note and let me know what you are. And I want you to tell me an affirmation that you use to make yourself bigger, faster, stronger, all of those good things. I do this on a daily basis, and you can call me crazy if you want, and I don't really care because this is just what I do, and it works for me. I usually do it, and I should probably do it like right the second that I wake up, but I usually do it when I get in the car because that's when I start having, you know, blocks of time where I can just kind of like veg out. Now, I'm paying attention to the road while I'm driving. However, those are usually the times that I am chiming in and going, I am, and then I fill in the blank, you know, what am I today? I am grateful I've got a car that drives. I'm grateful for a tank of gas. I'm grateful that I've got food to eat. I'm grateful, you know, and so I just kind of go down the list, and I might take me a minute. It might take me 15 minutes, but I do that on a regular basis, and I will tell you, for me, I think it helps me have a better framed day because I'm focusing on all the good things that I either want or am or I'm trying to be versus going, oh, you know, woe is me. I've got a hangnail. I just can't even, you know, go on because life is just too difficult because somebody looked at me cross-eyed and I didn't get enough hugs when I was a kid. So if you have an I am statement that is a positive affirmation that you use, I want you to reply on Facebook or send me a note because I want to know what you do that is affirming what you are doing in life. So there's your little homework assignment for the day. But without further ado, it is my pleasure and honor to bring back the king of pop culture roulette, Mr. Greg Archer, calling back into the show to talk about his book, Grace Revealed, a memoir. I love saying that word, Greg.
Memoir or
memoir.
Greg Archer? Which one?
I love saying Greg Archer even better, but those are two words. Yeah.
How are you? Well, I'm wonderful. How are you tonight, Garrett?
Oh my God! I honestly never like to say this. I'm a little exhausted today. I had a really great day in the studio, got tons of stuff done, but I'm a little on the frazzled side. So I'm loving the fact that we're doing the show a little early, so I can kind of get a cat nap later.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, we have to refill our creative well, right?
Yes, that is exactly
important.
It. How do you refill your creative well?
I am resilient. No, I'm trying to use
well,
your
I know you are.
I am resilient. I am awake. I am refreshed. I am, I don't know, I just keep saying things. You kind of act as if, and you keep moving forward, right? Isn't that how it works?
Well, that's my game plan. And so, you know, I'm always looking if somebody has a shortcut or a cheat sheet. I'm all about the cheat sheet. So if somebody can, you know, tell me a shortcut to whatever, I'm totally on board because, you know, that cheat sheet's around for a reason because it works. But in the meantime,
exactly.
You know, I do the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. So how you been this week?
I too have been. It's been very full and very full week. Lots of amazing things happening and shifting. It's an interesting time in history, I'm beginning to realize. And
why so?
I'm just fascinated. Well, you know, there's so many, you know, and I knew this when I was doing the book, having it come out this year, which is a big momentous anniversary year for so many things from the 1940s. But, you know, just in the last, you know, 6-7 months, there have been so many prominent, you know, anniversaries. You know, just recently, the liberation of Auschwitz, which was last week. Next week, which is the 75th anniversary of, actually last week, but the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. Next week is the 75th anniversary of the Stalin's mass deportation of Polish people. Last year was the 75th anniversary when Germany and Russia invaded Poland. So it's just been a very interesting time. So it's interesting to see what's happening in, as far as the stories that are being told, the stories are, that are being revealed from the past. And of course, I've been learning a lot more about this just because I'm interested in looking at it, but through the book and having it come out, you know, in mid-January, just been, you know, getting my attention on it. So it's a very interesting time. I think we're supposed to really look back at that part of history and give it another study and learn some more lessons, perhaps. So that's
I like
my take.
As a storyteller, what stories would you like us to learn about your book, Grace Revealed, this week?
Well, okay, so, you know, the most interesting thing happened this week, and it happened through a serendipitous, you know, series of events. And of course, I'll probably answer the question in a very long-winded way.
I love
but,
that. You can have good stories, though.
So probably by 20 minutes, the answer to the question will come. But I stumbled upon people here in Chicago quite by, I think, accident. I couldn't have really planned it. Who knew some people at the Holocaust Museum. Actually, I went to an event. That's what happened. An author called Glenn Kurtz. He's amazing. You probably should have him on your show at some point. He wrote Three Minutes to Poland. Yeah, I will. 3 Minutes to Poland, great book. First he made a video, then, you know, now it's a movie. What he did was he found these, again, see, this is becoming a long-winded story. What he did was he found these old photos and also, you know, like 16-millimeter films of, you know, his grandfather when they were cleaning out
the
closet. And what it revealed was this vacation that the family went on in 1938, I believe, in the summer.
Oh, my gosh.
Or maybe 39. Can't quite remember the name. Probably 39. And it was right before everything changed in this town in sort of western Poland, you know, and months later, you know, the people were gone. They were taken to Auschwitz and everything. So he wrote a book. So I was very fascinated with that because it related somewhat to what I was writing about in Grace Revealed, about my Polish family surviving Stalin's mass deportations, although it was the other side, it was the eastern Poland. So I went to this event. Somehow I connected with a person who was there from the Holocaust Museum, and I found out quite by accident, because I didn't seek it out, that the Holocaust Museum, the United States Holocaust Museum, is now expanding the types of stories that they are telling. It's not just the Nazi Jewish experience, which is important to know about and record and have on their site, you know, the testimonies from people that survived that, or family members that survived that. But now they are expanding it to include those who are affected by those who conspired with the Nazis. So it's a whole bigger playing field now, which is great, I think, and very important, because that, you know, obviously includes, you know, those that were affected by Stalin's decisions, and my family was, and so were nearly 2 million Poles, and, you know, and other Jewish people and Lithuanians, and it's so many. So I connected with somebody from that place, and I actually forgot about it because I got very busy, and then connected with somebody here about the book who wanted to write another book or something, and we had lunch, and she connected me with somebody from the Holocaust. So it came back, you know, I didn't,
wow.
I forgot about it. It came back. She connected me with somebody from that same place, and that woman just happened to be coming to Chicago like in the following week, and I happened to arrange it so that she could film and document my uncle John Miegut's testimony about his experiences surviving, getting to Siberia, surviving Siberia, being a Polish refugee. So that happened on Monday. It was like a 4-hour event, really. We took a break for lunch, and my mother was there as well. And it just was, you kind of have those odd moments in life where you know that something significant, you can just feel it in the air, like the course of history is being turned or something. It really felt like that in the room. I don't think I was imagining. I mean, people came in, they set up like all these camera things and filmed them. And the lady, Ina, was talking to him, and just a great interviewer and very deep emotional stuff. I mean, stuff I already knew, but just you get little different nuances every time you hear these stories. So, but there was something about the recording of the story, the documenting of the story, and actually the museum bringing documents that listed my family's names and letters that were written to try to help my family get out of Africa once they were in an orphanage there. And that was really like it just sort of was validating, like, that this thing actually happened. I mean, we all knew it happened, but just to have it documented is I think so vital and so important. So I guess to answer your question, I think what I like people to learn, I think as much as you can, record your family, even if you're writing it down, record your family history, get to know your family's history. It's so important that there's some record of it, I think, because, and especially those that endured incredible hardship, there's something about the documenting of it and recording of it in some way that it's a healing thing. I can't quite put my finger on it and articulate it quite yet because it's still sort of assimilating in my kooky brain, but there's something really profound and amazing about that. So that's one, probably the biggest thing that unraveled this week, which is a big thing. So that was on Monday.
When you were watching your family get filmed, did you hear any news stories, or was there one particular story that they shared that just really kind of ate at you?
There were different nuances to the stories. Like, I found out some things about, because I was always focused on, when the Russians came and took them and then everything after that. But then I found out little things about before the Russians came, that there was a church in their little village that they went to, and that they had several horses and several cows and some pigs, although I think he may have been exaggerating about how many animals they had, but that's okay. I let it go. but Polish neighbors coming over, and drinking too much and then getting into a brawl with each other with a shovel, and just crazy stuff like that, like things that happened in 1938 when Polish people on a farm, our neighbors, and get together and drink too much vodka, apparently. I mean, it was kind of interesting. So it was kind of interesting to hear some of the more lighthearted moments than what I was typically used to hearing, growing up, which was a lot of the other stuff, Africa aside, because when they got to Africa, it was a lot different. But so just that was interesting, beyond interesting.
So when you hear stories that are, because, let's face it, this sucked. It sucked worse than you and I will ever know. And even through listening to stories that we hear from family or friends of family, or read accounts or see documentaries, we will never understand how horrific this was. So, when we hear stories and, this happened and that happened and there are all these terrible things, because they happen. What does it do to you when you hear stories that were fun? It's like, oh, we came over, we're singing and dancing, and then I beat him over the head with a shovel because we had a fight over the girl, Because, you really don't think about the fact that at any time during any of that, anybody smiled or even thought about, having a decent time of any of it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds weird when I say it makes the experience more human to me. Like, because, you know, as human beings, we have all different facets to us. We have those fun, engaging moments, and it's not just all tragedy. And I think as a writer, you know, when you want to get a story out that is, you know, loaded with a lot of hardship, my focus has always been like, you know, on the emotional aspect of, you know, how they got through it and what this all entailed. And,
right.
And sometimes you get stuck, you know, like even if you're writing fiction, you get lost in your characters and these people, and this is real. So this is nonfiction. I got lost in, I still do sometimes because it's hard to kind of get out of the 1940s and go, oh, wow, there's like a real world around me now. It's like, I'm not, you know, so, but it makes it more human. Like, oh, wow. Like my grandfather actually had lighthearted moments and my grandmother actually had lighthearted moments, you know, and it, which is almost like a foreign concept to me. But necessary. I think it's necessary to assimilate it and balance it. So yeah, it's pretty wild, I would say. I mean, and it just balances the whole thing about, you know, researching and understanding a story that involved, you know, nearly 2 million Poles that were deported and sent to Siberia by Stalin. And it's, you know, very, very great to have that levity. You know, it's a refreshing balance, and I very much find it meaningful. So I was very happy to hear about that.
It's very dramatic, you know, and so whether or not it's a, you know, happy tale or a sad tale, you know, these terrible war crimes took place, and it's amazing these people that you've interviewed and are meeting today are still sharing stories of things that happened, you know, 60 years ago, 70 years ago. So when you are, I'm still taken back. That just has my heart going a little bit about the stories that your uncle's telling. So, okay, for everybody who's listening, we have celebrity author Greg Archer on the show tonight. He is the author of the best-selling, it's like a top 10 selling, best-selling memoir right now called Grace Revealed. It's a story of his family. And for those who have not heard Greg, we're doing a little special promo. Greg's on once a week for the next couple more weeks through the end of February. And each week he comes on and shares different stories about what the book means to him, how he started, you know, writing the book and all of this. But for people who have not heard the 3-minute, you know, elevator pitch before, what's the story about in Grace Revealed?
Really quick, the story, elevator pitch, the story is my journey uncovering my Polish family's journey surviving Stalin's mass deportations and the ripple effects that remain through today. You know, basically, I was an entertainment journalist for quite a while. I got assigned to follow, like the universe just plopped a sign and said, you know, you need to really look at this. You need to really follow it, you know, and after I'd asked for a sign. So, you know, it's like, you can't really kind of argue with the gods, right? So, well, you can, but it's not like you can take your sign from God back to Kmart or Walmart and say, can I exchange my sign from the universe and get a better one that makes me feel just a little more comfortable, please, so I don't have to. So I really got a strong indication through something that happened to follow, you know, the course and research more of my family. And what I did was uncover more of a journey I already knew about, but I just went deeper. And so I, you know, uncovered the story of them, you know, surviving Stalin's mass deportations and becoming Polish refugees in 1941, when Stalin became allies with Great Britain, freed all the people that he took, those that survived, and they became refugees in, you know, southern Russia, wound up in Uzbekistan in the Middle East, and a lot of them were shipped and sent to safety, to orphanages and whatnot. Some went to India, Africa, Mexico, New Zealand. I mean, it was quite an amazing odyssey that they went on because they couldn't go back to Poland because everything had changed. So there were about 18,000 Polish people in Eastern Africa. You know, my family somehow remained intact. They were part of that cluster. Some people were in Tanzania or Tanganyika, what it was called back then. My family was there. Other people were in Kenya, you know, a bunch of places, Uganda. So in a very short, long nutshell, it's my journey uncovering their journey. And, you know, you get a whole sense of what they went through, and the book kind of takes me sort of on an Eat, Pray, Love-ish journey toward the end, back to Poland to discover some more answers. So, yeah. But it
there we go.
Brings up the whole, yeah, brings up the whole idea of the importance of stepping into that thing that makes you feel a little uncomfortable and the things that can happen when you do that. The importance of ancestry unearths a little or underreported part of history that not many people knew about, you know, still don't know about, finally are getting to know about a little bit more. So, yeah, resilient, amazing people. Every time, you know, I hear my uncle being interviewed or he talks about it, I just have such deeper respect for him, you know, and amazing humans that come out of that and have life and levity and happiness, you know. Not everyone can do that.
No, it's staggering when you count it. You have one family's tale in here, but you said 2 million people went through this, and you know they've got stories to tell. And I'm just really thrilled that you've taken a year and a half out of your life to do this. So what is next, Greg? Do you have all the major studios lining up to do a feature film on this and writing you really big fat checks? Or, I mean, are you still shopping ideas around? Or what do you want to do next with this?
Sure. I like that idea. Actually, I do. Yeah, that's that actually is what I am in the process of coordinating. I probably can't say all that much yet, but
don't tell us anything you can't.
But yeah, there are things that are set in motion, and you know, who knows? I have a feeling a lot of survival stories from that time are unique and amazing and profound. I was very much struck with how my grandmother kept the family together, which I reveal in the book, and I think that particular story is unique. The idea of having it be, you know, an author or, you know, befuddled journalist exploring it and having that story come to life in a movie, I think it would lend itself to something like you could see on the big screen. So, yeah, I've been in the process of developing and working with some other people and talking and this and that. I've been so focused on the book launch that it's interesting to see what's now coming in. So yeah, but that's a very, 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 very strong possibility. I think it's project's probably bigger than me. I think if it wants to be a movie, I have a feeling it'll be a movie, and it'll probably happen in the most, knowing the way things have happened so far, the most serendipitous, quirky, unique, you know, bizarre.
It always does, you know. I mean, last night I had Patrick Tobin on, who's a screenwriter for the new Jennifer Aniston movie Cake, and we talked about wasn't it powerful? You know, so if you've
she should have been nominated. I don't know why she wasn't nominated.
Well, she actually did win a couple of Best Actress awards at various film festivals. So, you know, she, even though she didn't get the big one, she did get a couple of nice accolades along the way.
Yeah.
But you know, in Patrick's tale, he shared yesterday that, you know, okay, you know, I'd had this life and was doing all of this, and then all of a sudden, you know, something took off, and the next thing I know, we were filming this movie called Cake. You know, and so the story is, even though the circumstances are completely different, the story about, you know, you're writing this book or writing this novel, writing this screenplay, you know, later on, it's not like, you know, you're this, you know, 20-year-old that's right out of, you know, film school, or, you know, you got your journalism degree from Harvard and you want to go write a movie now. You know, you've had life experience, you've had these other things that have happened to you, and, you know, going through the things that you've gone through has prepared you expertly to be this best-selling author that you are today. And I would just love to see something like this, you know, happen for you, where, you know, somebody picks this book up. You know, if you're listening tonight, of course, you can always buy it on Amazon tonight just by clicking the link that's on the show page. So, you know, shameless plug for Greg. Go buy Grace Revealed tonight. But, you know, it'd be one of those things where people, you know, somebody just casually sees this or it's sitting on somebody's desk and they go, oh, we need to turn that into a movie. I think that's what's going to happen for you. I think you are just too brilliant not to have this happen. If somebody approached you, do you have experience in screenwriting? Would that be something you'd like to do, or would you turn that over to somebody else and say, do it right? Or do me proud,
I do.
You know, something
I,
like that.
I, I do, and I'm very open to somebody doing it right, because I know how all that works. You know, having interviewed many people in the business for so many years, I would prefer it. I got the feeling it's like it'd be great if somebody took it and understood it, loved it, whatever. And of course, you know, by the time something ever gets made, that is a miracle. Like any movie that gets made is a miracle. The hoops and the things that happen. There are a few occasional movies that are just, you know, just gems that just slide through, but there are so many different decision makers in that process. And my sense is that the way this has all happened thus far, if that were to be the next step and the next evolution of this particular project, that I have a feeling it would be more of a smoother ride, and that would be great if somebody took it and, you know, maybe changed the title, because I don't know if that's a great movie title, but, you know, and move forward with it to bring that story to life. Because we've seen so many stories about World War II and the Nazi Jewish experience, which is so, so important. I don't mean to say we shouldn't be seeing those. And there are a lot of other stories, too. So I think that this particular part of history is now finally, you know, things are beginning to, you know, open up. So Poles were not able to talk about it because Poland was in a communist state for quite some time. And it's very interesting to see evolution, you know, since the late 80s, how things shifted. And now, you know, here we are 20-something years later, 25 years later, and this part of history is now being approached, you know. I've seen a documentary, similar experience. So it's a curious time in history, as I mentioned earlier. It's just very, very curious. So, I would love to see it as a film. It'd be a great film, I think. It would lend itself to a theatrical thing like that.
But until that time, people can go buy your book on Amazon tonight. Grace Revealed is available for a Kindle download. You just need to go and do that. Greg,
we are quickly
approaching the time to say goodbye to you, because you have Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous going on in Chicago, and you've got many other things that you need to go do tonight. So before I let you go, any last words of wisdom or encouragement for people out there tonight?
Yeah, you know, something's really struck me at the very, very end of my uncle's interview with the representative from the U.S. Holocaust Museum. She said, "Is there anything else you want people to know?" And this gave me chills. He said, "Well," and he just kind of like, "Well," you know, he was tired. He was like, "Well, yeah." He said, I think people should be aware of this part of history, and that, you know, that some people went through really interesting hardships, maybe things harder to them, especially the young generation today, and, you know, people that are in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and that, you know, if I can survive this and people, you know, my family can survive this, that they can survive anything and make a good life for themselves. He said, you know, I will never forget what happened, but I can forgive, and I did forgive, you know, what they did to us. But I will never forget, but I've forgiven them. And, you know, you can go on and you can make a life for yourself, and it can be really good, something to that effect. And I was just
how
like,
powerful.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's a good soul right there. I was like, you go. That's awesome. So yeah, I pass that on. I'm looking forward to seeing it when it's online, and we can hear him, you know, again. That was just really profound.
You need totally. You need to let me know when that is. I want to go listen and watch. So yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. When I know, I will pass on that info.
Right on. Well, everybody, it's been Greg Archer, our celebrity king of pop culture roulette. He is gracing us with his presence tonight to talk about Grace Revealed, his memoir. Go buy it tonight, and we will see you, Greg, next week to talk about more stuff having to do with family histories. And everybody else will be right back after this. Little Joseph Eve.
I know how you love to spin your mind before you let go. Don't let indecision make you cold. It'll hold you up. got me. Don't make it harder. If you want me, don't think it over. Just come on over. Hit me up, hit me up, hit me up, hit me up. Too shy to walk in my door, but I know all your hesitations, cause I've been there before. Don't let indecision waste your time. Stop resisting your instincts and come meet mine. Make a decision. You know you got.
Little Joseph Eid with his new song, Hit Me Up. His video just went live on YouTube today. The link is on my Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and click it, you can go see the video. They do it in a nice little kind of like a bar concert type of a setting. Cute and really showcases Joseph's personality with just his performance. He's just a superstar waiting to happen, and you'll be hearing much more from him in the next year. I know it to be true. Special thanks out to Mary Lou, who is listening from Brisbane, Australia today. She, you know, I opened this door for her. I said, if you want to do like a takeover show sometime and come on and, you know, host the show, I'll just kind of sit back in the background and, you know, facilitate and moderate and make sure the show starts and ends on time and that type of thing. And this creative genius has taken the offer to heart. She has booked some fantastic guests for February, March, April, and May, and I mean, likes of which, you know, I'd just be honored to have the guests on. And here she is going, okay, you want superstars? I'm going to do it. Like Rick Mora from Twilight, he's going to be our guest on April 7th. We've got River Cruise on March 23rd, and or, you know, Mary Lou, you're going to have to tell me again. I got it, wrote it down for March 23rd for – or March 17th for Rick Mora. I'm just looking through my book here. Now I'm talking. But I've got Mary Lou scheduled for April 7th. She's going to have somebody else for April 7th. So, but she's just doing a fantastic job, and I love having her come on because she's such a fun interviewer as well as a great guest. So it's always really cool to have her on the show. We'll have her on another week or two and talking about, you know, just cool things that are going on in the world. I do want to mention, you know, here's my shameless plug for the day. If you have been commenting or actually know me and see me in person and been telling me, because it's true, they go, what are you drinking? You are turning into Benjamin Button. You're turning back the clock. And I'm like, absolutely, I am. And I'm thanking Ladar's International Anti-Aging Serum for that. I've been on it for about 6-7 months right now. And it's, you know, 2 pumps in the morning, 2 pumps at night. It's clean. It goes on your fresh face. It's not a 15-step process. None of that nonsense. It's one of those things, you know, when I first started the product, I told the people that had approached me, and I'd been approached by this company like 4 different times last year. And finally, I said, okay, you know, let me at least hear about it. Prior to that, I had been approached, I don't know, I still got a box. I mean, that's how much stuff I've got. I've got a box of crap. I'm sure the products are fine. But, you know, I'm a guy. I don't want to sit here and have a skincare regimen where I need to have 18 different products put on at different intervals and doing crazy different things like standing on my head in the full moon light in order to have it do whatever it's supposed to do. And so when Ladar approached me, they said, oh, my God, you know, those days are done. This is one product, you know, two squirts in the morning, 2 squirts at night, and you just put it on and it rejuvenates your cells. It goes 3 layers deep. It helps remove wrinkles by building up the cells so your cells aren't just like, you know, flat and flabby. They're pert and perky, just like, you know, other parts of the body are always nice if they are. But that's what happens to your face. And one of the things that people continue to tell me that try the product is that it helps relieve dry patches on their face. It helps even out skin tones and smooths out their face. And so if you are interested in finding out more about that, I will encourage you to go to my Facebook page. You can click a link. It'll give you some videos and things like that. If you sign up, you actually get 25% off and free shipping when you're on the auto ship option. So do that, save some money. Anybody who buys the product or, you know, you sign up on the auto shipment thing and you do that and you hear it on the radio, send me a note here on Facebook and I will gift you my album Eyes Wide, which is still available on iTunes and Amazon and wherever fine music is available to download, and I would encourage you to get that. But the store I want to go to next, I saw this last night. I'm going to read this to you because I know how much you love to have people read to you, but that's what I'm going to do. This came from TMZ, and you just have to, like, shake your head and wonder because we just don't have any scale or scope to really understand this. Like I was telling Greg, I don't have a scope or understanding other than hearing it and trying to empathize with 2 million Polish people who went through Stalin's concentration camps. You know, you can tell me the story and I'm going to think it's horrible. It is horrible. And then you have the other side of the spectrum, which is what we're going to talk about now. Are you ready? Sit down and get ready for this. Walmart heiress divorce. Hubby won't settle for Top Ramen. Okay, you can start rolling your eyes at any point during this conversation, or if you want to call in and talk about it, we're live for the next 22 minutes at 323-657-1493. But here you go. The man who's getting divorced from Walmart heiress Paige Laurie says he's become accustomed to their lifestyle and needs around $250,000 a month to keep the yacht afloat. Yeah, it's not $250,000 total. $250,000 a month to keep the yacht afloat. Patrick Dubert, who separated from Paige after less than 6 years of marriage, says in legal documents obtained by TMZ that he misses his wife and she needs to fork over between $210,000 and $240,000 a month after taxes. The gross amount would be just over $400,000 a month for necessities that include, now so here's what this poor Patrick Dubert is missing out on when he's not getting his $250,000 a month. I know. Get out your small violins and the cheese and wine because we're going to call the ambulance. Rental home. Home. Not fleet of homes. This is his rental home between $40,000 and $60,000 a month. Keep in mind, these are all per month, okay? Furniture, $10,000 a month. After how many months of buying $10,000 worth of furniture a month, do you run out of places to put your furniture? I think maybe that would be good for maybe a year, so you have $120,000 worth of furniture. What would you buy for $120,000? I had a 9-room house back in Arizona, and I bought 9 rooms of furniture and didn't spend, you know, $120,000 over the course of a year for furniture. That is for darn sure, and I had nice stuff. That was back in the day. Personal chef. You know, because he can't fix his peanut butter and jelly sandwich himself, $6,700 a month for a personal chef. He needs $5,000 a month for clothes. You know, because once you go to the men's warehouse and you get the buy one, get one suit, you know, you need to go back and get more suits and more suits and more ties and more Speedos. So he needs $5,000 a month for his clothing allowance. Now, if you know a personal trainer that charges this, I think they need to be living with you and, you know, doing your personal chef cooking. This should really fall under the personal chef. He needs $2,500 a month for a personal trainer. Well, if you take a look at the article, and I'm not the pot calling the kettle black because I work out like a madman, and you know, but I always say at this age, so I'm grateful for how I look and I'm, you know, doing all the stuff that I need to do. But for $2,500 a month, little Patrick can't be over, he can't be over 30, 35 years old. So he's a baby, okay? He does not look like he is getting the benefit of that personal trainer. And it's not that he's fat. He just doesn't look like he's, you know, buff and the stuff, like Buff Bagwell from World Championship Wrestling back in the day. So if he's paying $2,500 a month for a trainer, somebody has got him hook, line, and sinker. They might go to the gym and take selfies, but I don't think they're really working out. Now, here's where we get to the fun stuff, okay? Because, you know, we got to cover the necessities, like your rental home and your furniture and your personal chef. Can you guess how much he needs every month for vacations? Because, you know, most of us do take vacations monthly because, you know, why wouldn't you? I think we all probably take vacations at least once a month. And, you know, staying at a Motel 6 might not be an option every time. So here is his budget request for his vacations a month, $30,000. If I went on a vacation and spent $30,000, I would have lost my damn mind. That is... Now, again, I tend to be a little bit more frugal than most people might be when they're going to go on a vacation, which is, you know, one reason why I love to go to timeshares with my folks down in Mexico, because they make all the arrangements and I get their special deal and I'm happy for a week and, you know, I'm in and out of there, including food and airfare for, you know, under $600-$700. But $30,000 a month. But it does say that includes net jets. I don't know what net jets is. It must be something, I thought it might have to do with football, but that clearly can't be the case. So on top of, you know, his $40,000 to $60,000, I guess the lease is variable, $40,000 to $60,000 a month for a rental home, okay? And not that I'm supporting it, but I've seen, you know, houses go to $10,000 to $15,000 a month, and they were really, really impressive. So how do you spend $40,000 to $60,000 a month on a rental home? I don't get. Maybe I could, you know, maybe he could pay me that $2,500 a month that he's paying that personal trainer, and I could just shop him around to some homes. I mean, I'd be happy to do that, and we could probably find something for $20 and save him a ton of money. So for entertainment, because, you know, going on that vacation for $30,000 a month isn't enough to keep him entertained. The poor man needs to get out and be seen and do things. He needs $80,000 a month for his entertainment. $80,000. That is a lot of singles at the strip club. And, you know, personal stylist, $1,000 a month. Again, whoever is taking his money in this picture, maybe this is a bad picture of him. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that this is a bad picture of Mr. Patrick Dubert. But if he's paying somebody $1,000 a month to style him, after spending $5,000 a month in clothes from Men's Warehouse, he needs a haircut. And I'm one to talk, you know, because I've got long hippie hair right now for the new album, which is coming out in April. So, but $1,000 a month for that hairstyle, and I can't imagine he's buying my Ladara. If he wants to buy my Ladara, you know, I'll hook him up. I'll just charge him double or triple. I won't charge him, you know, 10 times what he is clearly overpaying for. And of course, one would be remiss. Now, keeping in mind that he does live in Southern California. This is not New York. One does need a driver because, you know, you're busy planning your personal styling appointments and your entertainment and your vacations and your training sessions where you're not working out and where you're going to buy your clothes and furniture shop. You've got so much to do that there's just no possible way, not at all, you could drive a car. So he needs an additional $4,000 a month for a driver. Again, I'd be happy to do it for, you know, $3,800, $3,900. I wouldn't have to charge him the full $4,000. I'd give him a discount. but he needs $4,000 a month for a driver. So there you go. Dubert complains he was living with Paige in their $11 million home, and now he's stuck in a Santa Monica apartment half of the year. He spends the other 6 months with his parents in Jefferson City, Missouri. Part of me reads this and go, he's a dick. But, you know, if he's stuck in a Santa Monica apartment, he's a dick, okay? I haven't met him, but I can just read through the lines. But, you know, she's a Walmart heiress. You got to ask what, you know, if you don't ask, the answer is always no, right? Dubert's argument is that he worked for her company, and he needs some time to get back into the job market and money to get back on his feet. And, he says, the law is the law, and he's become accustomed to their lavish lifestyle, which included yacht parties that cost $500,000 a pop, travel in the Walmart private jet, and on and on and on. He says Paige rakes in $872,000 a month just from stocks and dividends, so she can more than afford to pay him. Now, the best line of the day. Here's the best line of the day. After all of that, the man does have a heart of gold. And a heart of gold. God bless this guy. He needs an additional $2,500 a month so he can make charitable donations. Mm-hmm. $2,500 a month extra on top of all of that, because between that $40,000 and $60,000 and the $10,000 for the furniture and the $6,700 a month for the personal chef, $5,000 a month for the clothes, $2,500 for the personal trainer, the $30,000, how can he even enjoy himself on a crappy vacation that only costs $30,000? The $80,000 a month in entertainment and his personal stylist for $1,000 and a driver for $4,000, he does feel very charitable. So that 1%, God bless you, Mr. Patrick Dubert, for requesting that from Walmart heiress Paige Laurie that you are divorcing. You are a dumb, dumb man. Okay, and I don't even know him, so there you go. So if he wants to call in and talk to the show, that's great. I would love the ratings for that. There's another fun video that I'm going to share with you. This is actually on the Facebook as well. It's called, this is from College Humor's video, and it says, if there are awards for student films, and it's just kind of funny because, you know, I'm in the process of getting ready to film some music videos and I'm talking to a bunch of people, and I'm also, you know, just trying to make sure I can try to do it as economically as possible. And here comes this video about if there were awards for student films. It's, I don't know, like 3 or 4 minutes long, but it is absolutely cute and funny. And there may be some faces that you would recognize in that as well. So go take a look at that, because, you know, some people will send me notes. Where is this article and where is that video and where is what? Here's the deal, folks. My Facebook page, I hate to have it cluttered. Now, for those of you who like clutter on your page, good for you. I don't care. I really, truly don't. But for my page, if I've got more than 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things on it, I want to poke my eyes out. So when you hear me talk about it or you go see something on the wall and you enjoy it or get a giggle out of it, as is my hope is that you will also copy and share it or do whatever it is that you want to with it, because it ain't going to be here for long at all. So with that, go check it out. I'll have all the content up here that we talked about for the next day or two. And then it will be gone, gone, gone. In the meantime, I'm going to play one more song. This is going to go back to our dear friend, Kelly Zerba. She was listening last night on the show when we had Patrick Tobin on. I think that was a topic that really hit home to a lot of people. And I'm grateful for Kelly listening. And her husband, Perry, is actually going to be a guest on the show in March. And he is a sound engineer for, you know, all the hits TV shows like NCIS and that type of stuff. We had to like work out half a dozen different days to find one that he could actually make, but he'll be on, and I can't wait for you to hear that. So here is one from Kelly's Lot. This is called Why Don't We, and we'll be back right after this. Just my life, what was fine.
lost you joy, and that'll never change. And lost you joy.
I think that there can never be too much of their music, blues music, and, you know, for her, she just does it so effortlessly, and she's got such an amazing band and people behind her when they perform. You know, and they went on this huge tour this past summer of Europe, and it was reminiscent, I think, of one that happened either the year before or the year before that, and they just have fans all over the world, and they just go absolutely nuts. So, you know, this... I don't want to say, you know, it's a tiny little band here in Southern California that gets a great crowds wherever it goes, and then it goes to Europe, and they're selling out huge places all over the place. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I think that's really fun to see, and love having her on the show. So I'm looking forward to having Perry on the show in a couple of weeks. It's next month sometime. Tomorrow night, we're going to have Robert Michael Morris. He is a Hollywood legend, and he's going to come on and talk about Hollywood stories, and I'm looking forward to my first conversation with him. We were introduced by Kurgan Edward Stout, who is a friend of mine here on the Book of the Face. He's been on the show. He'll be on later on this month talking about whatever it is Kurgan wants to talk about. And he says, I've got some other people that you really need to talk to. And I said, send them on over. Yesterday, Patrick Tobin was one. We've got Michael Vaccaro coming up next Monday. He's the star of Child of the 70s. Third season is coming up on that. Super excited. If you want to go to childoftheseventies.com, you can do that and watch both season one and two. You can also YouTube it as well, Child of the 70s. And season one, I think there's 5 episodes. Season two is 7. You know, it's like a web series, so it's not like it's going to take hours and hours of your time. But it's, you know, a fun little journey, and it's, you know, done on a dime, and you have people that are working really hard. And season three, they've got some backers and sponsors, so no expense was spared, and they've done an amazing job with cast and crew, and I've already kind of know some of the plot line for season three, so that will be fun. We did an interview last week, and I'm piecing it together, and it'll be airing live this coming Monday, so that'll be fun to do. And then Friday, we've got Kaffir. Kaffir is the star of Broadway's Phantom of the Opera. He's been on the show several times before, always so generous with his time and his music, and he is working on new music. And I'm going to tell you up front, we can't play it yet. It's not released. But he's going to talk all about it. He's even doing a photo shoot tomorrow in New York City for one of the songs that is coming up. But we're going to have him on the show on Friday night, a special start time, 8 p.m. East, 5 West, so the same time as tonight. So Greg was early, Kaffir is early. We do it, you know, thankfully I have the flexibility to do it when it works for the guest in these days. So we're going to talk to Kaffir at 5 o'clock on Friday night. The first hour of the dance party, will be playing his music and talking to him about his life experiences and his decision to move off of Broadway's Phantom of the Opera hit and to focus full-time on his music, which is really, really cool. Does great stuff, and he writes his own stuff, and you know, just very creative soul. And an hour or two, of course, is always listener requests. So if you have something you want to hear, I will encourage you to send me a note. Now, you can also like the show on Facebook at Rated G Radio. Like the page there. If you are listening to the show now, I hope you are. Otherwise, who am I talking to? Well, you're listening to it, so you're hearing it. Click the follow button on the show page, and you will get a link that will take you to the show live every single day, because every show has a different link, because it's live 5 nights a week. And you can get it either email or text. You can also go to the bottom right-hand corner of the show page and click on the, I think it's the RSS, it might even say podcast button, and it will take you to the iTunes store, and you can download Rated G Radio as your favorite podcast, and then take me on the go with you wherever you are at. I share that with you because I'm in development right now on a brand new app. I can't talk a whole lot about it other than to tell you I'm working on it after the show. And it's going to be really cool. It will help you easily connect to all the things that I'm working on and part of. So you've only got to go to one place to do all of the things to stay connected to me. I'm very excited to share that with you as soon as I can. Now, with that, I'm out of breath. It's time to go. And I'm going to play us out with Patrick Allen Casey's Home until the show wraps up at 6 o'clock. So with that, everybody, drive safe. Don't drive distracted. And we will see you live on Thursday night with Robert Michael Morris. Have a great night. Found you in the street.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.